right. Honk your horn when you can hear me. All right, good. Well, it's good to have you here this morning. And we'll go ahead and start with the song. So I like the song. Now, when Brother Phil was here, every time you sang Love Lifted Me, you had to, when you sang the word love, you had to, lifted, you had to stand up on your toes. If you want, you can step outside the door of your car if you really want to celebrate that. Or you can just kind of do it inside your vehicle there. We're going to start off with Love Lifted Me, and then we'll have some announcements and some other things, and then we'll have Brother Paul come up. So let's go ahead and we'll sing together. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I see some folks using your hands. So that's, I think, Vicky, and maybe you're over there standing on your toes. I don't know, but, oh, okay, they're doing it. So whether you use your hands or you're standing outside, we'll sing that next verse. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. I know it's not on our hymnal, but there is a song called You May Have the Joy Bells Ring in Your Heart. I was going to say, raise your hand if you've ever heard that song before. That's an old hymn, but we used to sing it, when I was a boy growing up. And I was thinking, if we ever sang that, instead of the bells, I could just have you blow your horns. Not quite the same, but a little bit, I guess. But we're really glad you're here this morning. Last Sunday was a really nice day. Today's a beautiful day, and I'm glad you're here with us. And before we have a word of prayer, just want to make you aware of a few prayer requests here today. We've been asked to pray for a man by the name of Don Watts, who has cancer. And so we'll ask the Lord just to minister to Don. And then Jamie Electric lost her grandmother Maxine. And Luke and Jamie and the family are in Virginia right now with her family there for the service of her grandmother. So if you would, pray for them. And we mentioned before that Jamie is scheduled to have surgery at Cleveland Clinic. They've postponed that again. So hopefully within the next several weeks they'll be able to get to that. So pray for Jamie and that as well. And then, of course, everybody I think is aware that my daughter Chelsea is in the hospital. And just to give you a little bit of an update, she had a very rough day on Friday, but yesterday was much better. They are attempting to keep the baby from being born now. And so the goal is to have Micah stay in the womb for at least 2 weeks, hopefully more like 4 weeks. If they can keep the baby in the womb and give the lungs a chance to develop, they may be able to keep him off of any kind of breathing apparatus. And so that's the goal. And Chelsea's a much like Andrew Electric, is a brittle diabetic, and her sugar has been out of control. So they are medicating her, and of course just doing what they can to let Micah come into the world safely. Good news, they thought there was something wrong with the baby's heart. They brought in a specialist from Emory University and found out that there is nothing wrong with his heart. So we're praising the Lord for that. So really appreciate your prayers. We were trying to go down, but like here, we're not allowed in the hospital. So just pray for Chelsea and Juan. Pray for little Micah. God will just do a good work there. But I really appreciate you praying, because we saw God answer prayer the last 48 hours for Micah and for Chelsea as well. So we're grateful for that. So I'm going to have Brother Paul come up and lead us in prayer and just go over his special announcements and all the things that he has for us this morning.
Okay, let's just go ahead and open up in prayer.
Lord God, we praise you this day. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you've given us. Even as we as a nation and a world go through these trials and tribulations of the virus, we pray, God, that we might just have doors open for us to be a good witness for you. You know, to spread the gospel, which is what the world needs. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one that showed up today, those that are viewing online. We pray, God, that you might just give them a special blessing.
And Lord, as we just turn our attention to those that have needs,
and we all have needs, Lord,
we pray, God, that you'll just draw us closer to you. We pray for Chelsea and Juan.
We pray for little Micah that's
growing within
Chelsea, Lord, that you just might watch over him. We pray, God, that
just your hand will be upon him.
We pray, God, that you'll just cradle him in
your arms.
We pray, Lord, for a healthy delivery.
We pray, God, that he will be delivered
in your time.
We pray, Lord, as we think of Jamie and just, you know, her family and just the bereavement they're going through right now. And we pray, God, that you'll just give
them your comforter.
We pray for Jamie as she has an upcoming surgery. We pray, God, that that will be scheduled and that will be sufficient. We lift up Don Watts to you, Lord, also, and just ask that you might be with him. You know exactly what he needs at this moment, Lord,
and we trust you in that. And we again, Lord, just praise you
for what you've been doing in our country. We pray, God, that you might just continue to draw each and every one of us closer to you. And we pray, God, that we might use the opportunities that you've given us to serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
If you are happy to be here,
let's get that one
hand way up in the air.
And if you're happy the person parked beside you, behind you, or in front of you is here, we'll get that other hand up in the air. And while we have our hands in the air, all God's people said, praise the Lord. Just a quick few announcements here this morning. This evening, we will be meeting in the auditorium. We have a special speaker. You should come out and hear this man. It's going to be phenomenal. So that's at 6 o'clock this evening. Immediately after the evening service, we do have a deacons and trustees meeting. So deacons and trustees, please be prepared for that. Wednesday evenings, we're also meeting in the auditorium for Bible study and prayer. It's at 7 o'clock in the evening. We'll continue the drive-in services on Sunday until such time as we get the word that we can all meet in the auditorium. So we can't wait for that to happen. The last thing that I have
is I entitled this,
What I've Learned About the COVID Virus. This is what I've personally learned about what we're going through right now. First of all, coughing into your hand is taboo, but coughing into your elbow is encouraged, even though it's easier to wash your hands than it is to wash your elbows. The virus can live for days on certain surfaces, such as your elbows or the clothing that covers your elbows. You know, the virus targets certain groups of people, such as Christians. So that's the reason why so many houses of worship have closed. However, Walmart and Lowe's are somehow immune to the virus and can remain open. I found out that alcohol can kill the virus, so liquor stores are allowed to remain open for public health reasons, whereas most small businesses are viral incubators. You know, the virus only attacks people that it can recognize. That's why we need to change our appearance to protect our identities and wear masks like Batman and Spider-Man, or grow a beard like Pastor Vaughn. You know, it's a scientific fact that the COVID virus can fly up to a distance of 5 feet, 11 and a half inches. Then it plummets to its death. And the last thing, the virus ignores groups of 10 people or less, but will specifically target that 11th person, especially if that person is a Christian, not wearing a mask, and not drinking alcohol. Thank you very much.
That was all.
All right. I don't know why I let him do announcements. I think it brings a little bit of levity. I think that's a good thing. So let's go ahead and sing one more time. And we'll sing song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? All righty. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause, or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. That's a really good song. It makes you stop and think, am I truly a soldier of the cross? Am I willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ? No matter what the issue is. Now, we're going to be going back to the book of Matthew this morning. So while you're turning back to Matthew chapter 5, let me just go ahead and mention about the next few weeks. It seems hard to believe that it's time for Memorial Day already. I was thinking it was on the weekend of the 31st, but it's actually next week. So I know some of you, I know of a few that will be out of town next week. So for those who might be traveling, trust that God will give you safety wherever it is that you might be headed. And just remember each other in prayer. Next Sunday, we'll meet back here in the parking lot. And then on the 31st, we are going to offer two morning services. We'll meet again in the auditorium beginning May 31st. And then for those who are seniors like myself, Caleb's Clan, Pilgrim's Progress class, or anyone who has a health risk, but you might, you know, you would still obviously want to be here, we will also have a service for you. Now, I'll let you know later this week whether that will continue as a parking lot service or whether we will have you come into the building. I know some other churches that are holding two services. Of course, you know, for our congregation, we don't numerically need to have two separate morning services. Now, this is pretty typical for a lot of churches nowadays, but we may open up the opportunity for those who have health risks or are seniors like myself. We'll have a service for you and then later have a service for anyone else who chooses to come. But I'll give you more detail this week. I still have a little more to think about, pray about concerning that. But there will be definitely some changes coming up in the next couple weeks here concerning that. But as Brother Paul mentioned, of course, we're meeting in the building now on Sunday evenings. We're meeting on Wednesday evenings as well. And again, you do exactly what you think is best for you. It's not the same for everybody. We certainly understand that. So do what is best for you as far as your health is concerned. By the way, we're also going to be baptizing tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. And just trust that if you're able to be here, you'll be here. And if you're not able to be here, live stream it. Watch with us at 6 o'clock tonight. So let's go ahead and have prayer. We'll get right into God's word this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone who is here. I thank you for the willingness to come out in this different kind of way and just meet together. And I was thinking earlier this week, the Israelites met in the open doors. Lord, there was the tabernacle, but that was really for the priests. When the congregation gathered, they gathered in the open air. Father, I think about Paul's ministry to Philippi and how he met Lydia and the other women meeting by a body of water. Lord, the early church meeting there at the porch at the temple, Solomon's temple. We know, Father, that whether we're inside a building or as we meet this morning, we're gathered, we're assembled together. And we ask that you would just work in our hearts. Lord, I would ask that we would be obedient to you. I pray the things that are preached this morning would not only be instructive, but convicting where conviction is needed and encouraging where encouragement is needed. You know where everyone is at, including myself. You know what we need spiritually. And so I'm dependent on you, Holy Spirit, to do the work that obviously I cannot do. But I also ask you to use me today. I ask that you take this book and open it up to us, give us understanding. And we'll thank you for all that's done, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be turning again to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at this morning. When Jesus called people to follow him, there was something he chose for these people to follow, that he chose to call to follow him. He wanted them to learn first. Now, I just want you to keep in mind our theme for this year. Simple two-word theme, follow me. The words of Jesus Christ that you find throughout this book of Matthew and really throughout the Gospels. Jesus Christ constantly challenging people to follow him. Especially, obviously, those who have already put their trust in him. Our theme verse for this year is Matthew 16 and verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. When Jesus called people to follow him, and we see that back in chapter 4 where he challenged Andrew, he challenged Peter, he challenged James and John and those others that he began to call. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the challenge to you and me as his children, is to follow him. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. As these people began to follow him, it was the Lord Jesus' goal to instruct them. And I find it interesting that the very first thing that Jesus wanted his followers, his disciples, to know was this. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to be happy. And he wanted them to know the means by which they could be happy. Now, if that was true for the Apostle Peter, if that was true for the beloved John, then it's true for you, and it's true for me. I don't think that is shallow at all, to think that God wants us to be happy. I believe he does. And so when we look through these, what are known as the Beatitudes, as we've done for several weeks, he begins each by saying, blessed are. Blessed. And you know that that word means happy. Jesus Christ wants you, his child, his follower, to be happy. And as Jesus Christ began his teaching ministry, he taught them how to be happy. He taught them how to be blessed. Now, the way God thinks and the way I think do not often align together. Very seldom do my thoughts align with the Lord's thoughts. And I would say that's true for everyone, even those of us who are born again. I remind you what God said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Now, we've been looking here at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And these Beatitudes are not the way that I would naturally think to find happiness. I think a lot of people will be happy when they get out of, you know, this stay-at-home posture. I think a lot of people think they'll be happy when we get back to being able to participate in our hobbies and our sports and having, you know, all the sports on TV back on. That'll make us happy. Well, there may be some temporary excitement in those things, but the happiness that the Lord Jesus offers is something that he says will give you joy that won't be temporary but will continue forever. It'll give you contentment. And you'll find he just simply uses the word happy throughout the Word of God. He wants us as his children to be happy. But it's not necessarily the way that you and I would think to be happy. Isaiah 55 verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The way I would think I could find happiness is not the way God thinks, is not his way of finding happiness. Now, whose way should I follow? My own way or his way? Well, you know the answer to that. If you really want contentment, continual joy, the kind of happiness that Jesus describes and prescribes, then you have to do it his way. You have to do it his way. So how does he tell us to have happiness? Well, you notice there in chapter 5, verse 3, he said, if you really want to be happy, you really want to be blessed, be poor in spirit. Now, again, who's he speaking to? Foremost, he's speaking to his disciples, people who already know him as Savior. People have already answered the call to follow him. And he says to those people, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, he said, listen, I want you to look at your life, even though you are already my child, as being needy. I want you to see yourself, in a sense, as in and of yourself, spiritually empty. I want you to see yourself this way. I've used the term spiritually bankrupt or spiritually destitute. He said, I want you to see yourself that way. He said, if you really want to be happy, you'll only be happy when you see yourself in this manner. Because when you don't see yourself, when you say, I'm satisfied with the way I am, there'll be no spiritual growth. There'll be no effort to keep yourself close to Jesus Christ. I've seen it with people that I've dealt with, that I've supposedly led to the Lord, just have a satisfaction, not in Jesus Christ, but in themselves, and then miserably fail. Be poor in spirit. Verse 4, he says, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to be happy, mourn. Now, most of us would never think of mourning as a means of happiness. We think that as something that occurs because we're sad. And that's true. God wants us to be spiritually broken over the fact that in and of ourselves, we're spiritually destitute, we're spiritually empty. But he said, when you come to that point where you are broken over that fact, you'll want to do something about it. And then you will find my means of happiness. Verse 5. He said, if you really want to be blessed, really want to be happy, he said, you need to be meek. Meek in the sense that you might have the ability to solve some problems on your own. You may not always need other people to get where you want to go in life. But when it comes to your relationship with Almighty God, he said, I want you to come meekly before me. Look, you realize the reality that all of us, including this pastor, is in myself spiritually empty, destitute. I'm to mourn over that fact so that I want to change. And then instead of saying, well, I'll figure out a way to resolve this, I'll figure out a way to get myself where I need to be spiritually, I come before God and say, God, my ways are not your ways, so I want your ways in my life. So God says, okay, then I want you to take my word and let me teach you. I want you to stay faithful to God's house, whether it's in a car or whether it's in that auditorium. And I want you to listen to the man I've put in front of you, whether it's the preacher, whether it's the evangelist, whether it's the missionary, whoever it may be. I want you to listen to those that I've ordained to preach the gospel. Sometimes, folks, it's a matter of being so meek that God would say, I want to use your spouse. I want your spouse to point out spiritual blind spots in your life where they can go and say, honey, I love you, but... And that we would be so meek that we'd say, God, you're using my spouse to show me things that are spiritually failing and need to be corrected. Sometimes, mom and dad, God uses your children. Or God may use that church member to get a hold of you. But we need to stay meek. God says, if you really want to be happy, if you really want to be blessed, be poor in spirit. Mourn over that condition. Come meekly before me and those I placed in your life to make you what you ought to be. And then he says, verse 6, if you really want to be happy, really want to be blessed, hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mentioned when we looked at this that we don't understand hunger and thirst like many understood in the days of the Lord Jesus, where they didn't have, you know, refrigerators, and they didn't have freezers, and they didn't have water fountains at every corner. They didn't have, many times did not have, clean water sources. And people literally had to pray daily for their food. Give us this day our daily bread was an issue for every person often in that culture. For you and me, that's not really the case. But God says, I want it to be as though you are craving, because it's like you're starving. It's like you're thirsting to death. I want you to have that kind of attitude after righteousness. An appetite, a craving for what is right, to live righteously. And that begins by coming to Jesus Christ, the righteous, as 1 John 2:1 refers to Jesus. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he imputes to you righteousness the moment you get saved. But after that, he wants you to depend on him and hunger after doing the things that are right as you begin to grow and you make yourself meek before him. When those things begin to happen, he said, now, verse 7, if you really, really want to be happy, this is important, he said. He said, you'll be happy, you'll be blessed when you're merciful. That's not so much an introspective view like these first four verses are. That's an outward attitude toward others. Folks, verses 3 through 6 speak about God's mercy in dealing with you and me as his children. Verse 7 speaks about you as God's children being merciful to others who are around you. First and foremost, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and even the lost. How much is God merciful to you? He's merciful to you much. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God continually showers me with mercy. And God says, now, Jeff, I want you to treat Paul Hickman with mercy. Continual mercy. I want you to treat Dave Davis with mercy. Continual mercy. Never ending. Just as I have been merciful with you, you be merciful with others. When they disappoint you, be merciful with others. When they bless you, be merciful with others. When they're contrary to you, be merciful to others. And then you come to verse 8. If you really want to be happy, if you really want to be blessed, you be pure in heart. Why? Because that's the only way you can really see God. You know, when you allow sin in your life, as a believer now, speaking as a believer, your condemnation has already been taken care of. But sin can keep you from seeing God in the way that you desire to see him. And primarily for you and me today is through this book. Open thou mine eyes, and I may behold. We behold wondrous things out of his law, and in a sense, we're beholding him. And if I really want to see God as a believer, as his child, in that fullness that I desire, listen, I need to be pure in heart. But there's something else. It's not only myself who sees God. Other people, as I keep my life pure, will see God through me. And if my life is not pure, then those who observe my life, my neighbors, or maybe it's a workmate, or maybe it's a relative, they will not see God, at least not have the representation of God that they need in order to see their lives changed. It wasn't last week, but 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 9. He said, if you really want to be happy, you need to be a peacemaker. Now, he's not talking about getting yourself a placard and going down here, as many have done here in these last several weeks, and protesting and saying, you know, war not peace, or peace not war, whatever. You know, not that. Not that kind of peacemaking. But the gospel of peace, taking the gospel of peace that brought peace between you and Almighty God the day that you got saved. He said, I want you to be a peacemaker and carry the gospel of peace, as he refers to it in several places. Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach, what? The gospel of peace. Every time you open your mouth and share the Lord Jesus Christ with someone, whether it's in a classroom or whether it's in a special ministry that you may have being part of this fellowship, or whether it's just meeting with a neighbor, meeting with a relative, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are sharing the gospel of peace. Because when they put their trust in Christ, there is now peace between them and Almighty God. God says, I want you to be a peacemaker. Now, that brings us to these next three verses, and I want you to read with me this morning, verses 10 through 12. God says, this may sound strange, but you can be blessed. You can be happy with this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Listen, when you and I begin to buy in to the Beatitudes, we say, okay, I accept that I need to see myself as poor in spirit. I accept that I need to mourn over this condition. I accept that I need to walk meekly, not only with God, but with fellow believers, because God may use them to change my life. I accept all of these things that have been brought to light. You keep this in mind. When we buy into finding peace God's ways, we have to accept the completeness of his preaching, his statement, and accept what we find in verses 10 through 12. Now listen, others won't understand this. And just like they may not accept what you find in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and so forth, they certainly won't understand verses 10 through 12. But sir, ma'am, listen to me. If I'm really to know the kind of lasting contentment and joy, the kind of happiness that God desires for me to live by, then I have to walk according to this and accept what we hear in verses 10 through 12. He said, you'll be blessed, verse 10, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, he does not say you'll be blessed when you're persecuted. You know, over the years, some of our men have worked in the prisons here with Rock of Ages. And one of the prisons, one of the state prisons, we were actually, for a number of years, allowed to go into the cell blocks and one-on-one deal with men and even women in that state prison. It was a very unique opportunity and the only prison in the entire state of West Virginia where that was allowed to be done. It's no longer allowed, but for a number of years we did that. And got to know a lot of men over the years. And inevitably, And those of you who worked in law enforcement, I'm sure you've heard this as well. There are people in there who feel like they've been persecuted. Now, I'm sure that over the years, I've met some men and women who are actually innocent and may have been falsely accused, persecuted, if you would. But I also believe that most of the people who have said those things to me deserve to be where they were. Listen, Jesus said, you're not going to be blessed because you're persecuted. Some people are persecuted for the wrong thing. He said, you'll be blessed when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. I want you to think about believers. I want you to think about the believers that we are introduced to throughout the Word of God. There's Jeremiah. And he was thrown into a dungeon. Not the kind of prisons that we have here in our culture. It says that when he was thrown into this one particular dungeon, he sunk into the mire. Apparently it was a pit. And to add to the torture, he sunk into the mire, either waist deep or chest deep. That Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, finally appealed to the king to release Jeremiah because he said he'll die if you don't take him out. He was persecuted for the faith. There's Daniel, a man that God greatly beloved, but he was persecuted. He was thrown into a den of lions. There's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a furnace. When you go across to the New Testament, there's a man like the Apostle Peter. He suffered. He was imprisoned. And eventually, he was executed. Most believe that he was executed by being crucified upside down. There's the Apostle Paul, constantly harassed, constantly persecuted, stoned, beaten, imprisoned several times, and eventually executed by having his head taken off his shoulders. We could go on and on and on about those who have suffered, those who have been persecuted. You say, I just don't see how anybody could be blessed, happy by being persecuted. Well, I want you to think about men like Peter. You think about the early days of the church, and you find those men so excited about their walk with the Lord Jesus that they were willing to go and tell everybody about the Lord Jesus. And they did. One day, those men were found there at the temple preaching Jesus Christ, and they were arrested and put in a prison. That night, an angel released them. They were directed to go right back to where they were and preach again. The leaders, the council there, found out that they were out of that jail and had those men brought before the council. And there those men were shamed and then beaten. Now I want you to listen to their response in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they, talking about the disciples, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I would imagine that many of you have been shamed for your Christianity. There have been different times where I have been shamed for being a believer, for trying to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that's happened to many of you. I've told this story often about a couple of our teenagers years ago as we were out in a division just ministering house to house, and they were accosted by some other teenagers and mocked because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I remember them coming back to the church van and getting in, and they were all excited. They were literally doing what Acts 5:41 says. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus Christ. They were happy about it. Listen, God says, I want you to be blessed, and you'll be blessed when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now listen, here's the real key as to why. The end of verse 10. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, you do understand what awaits you. You do understand as God's child what is coming your way, and hopefully soon. And that's heaven. I want you to go back with me to 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians, and I want you to look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 4, and we'll begin to read in verse 8. This is Paul. I mentioned how he was persecuted, and he lays it out for us here plainly. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted, but listen to this, not forsaken. You can understand this whenever you're shamed for being a Christian. When you stand up for what is right and you're mocked for it, you're not alone. You're not alone because other believers are also suffering for His sake, but you also have the presence of God in your life. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For the which we live, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now, I'm just going to have you jump down to verse 16. Speaking about persecution and suffering, he says this, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me tell you something. If you're just going to try to live by verses 10 through 12 and find happiness that way, it won't work. You've got to live, you've got to find happiness through verses 3 through 9 first. Implement that in your life, and then you'll be able to accept persecution into your life. You'll be able to accept being falsely accused and shamed and still be blessed in it. Verse 17, what a great verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then when you go into the next chapter, he talks about standing one day before Jesus Christ. Paul said, all that I have to go through, every beating I've taken, the moment when I had to run for my life, the stonings that I received, the imprisonments, it's just for a moment. In comparison with eternity, it's just for a moment. And compared to the joy I'm going to have in eternity, it's like light affliction. Now, I'll be honest, when you're getting mocked, laughed at, shamed by someone, it's not enjoyable in and of itself. It may seem like it's never going to end when somebody's standing there ridiculing you or, you know, taking you to the woodshed, so to speak, because of your faith. But compared to what we have awaiting us, it's light affliction, he said. He said, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to find my happiness, don't run from the thought of persecution. Oh, listen, I'm not standing here saying to you this morning that you need to go seek suffering. Oh, it'll come. If you live for Jesus Christ, that will come. Yea, and all they who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You implement Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 9. You will, listen, you will face persecution. I realize we don't face persecution like our brethren in India face persecution, or our brethren in South Sudan face persecution, or our brethren in much of the Middle East face persecution. Nevertheless, when you decide to live righteously and seek purity, you are going to face persecution at times. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, Peter, another man who greatly suffered, said this, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, now listen to this, happy are you. He uses the word happy. If you are reproached for the name of Jesus Christ, happy are ye. That sounds so strange, but the reality is it's true. It's true. Look at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The word revile means that someone is defaming your character. It means they're taunting you or reproaching you. He said, you'll be blessed when these things happen. Christian, listen, this is what believers should accept and what we should expect. If there isn't at least some form of persecution in our life, more than likely we're not living by Matthew chapter 5. We're not living the way we ought to be living, because darkness cannot accept light. And as you go on in this chapter, he says, ye are the light of the world. Darkness does not like the light. Those who are lost are going to come against you if you truly stand out for Jesus Christ. If you stand for the things that are right. This is the reality. Again, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He did not say you might. He said you will. So I ask you a question. Are you truly standing for Christ? I mean, is everything so rosy and fine, so to speak, when it comes to this subject, that you never have anybody come against you? You never have anyone get upset with you? You have no one ever try to shame you or revile you? You know what? It may be because you're not standing up and being the light you ought to be. He said, you'll be blessed. Notice verse 12. In this sense, you can have rejoicing and be exceeding glad. Great will be your reward in heaven, he says, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, you'll be blessed when you anticipate the great reward that awaits you. I think that's really the key to this. Just like those young men who got on that van that afternoon with us, they were so excited that somebody had said ugly things to them and had called them names and had mocked them. They were excited because they're like, I got to suffer for the Lord Jesus. And you know what's going to happen because of that? There's going to be a reward. You know, there are some things in the Bible that are very plainly spoken about concerning rewards. And this is one of those areas in which God is very plain. He said, you are going to be rewarded if you suffer for my cause. James 1:12. Blessed or happy is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord, the righteous Lord, hath promised to them that love him. He said, listen, you're going to receive the crown of life when you endure trial in your life. And part of trial is persecution. Part of trial is being reviled for your faith. Notice 2 Timothy 4. You can turn there if you like. If not, just listen. 2 Timothy 4, verses 5 through 8. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I don't think any of us would think anything less of his appearing. We look forward to him coming back, don't we? Amen? We look forward to his return. He said this can be true of everyone who looks forward to Jesus' return. And that is this, the crown of righteousness. To be rewarded, why? Because of enduring afflictions, of having to fight a good fight. When Paul wrote those words, he was on death row. He said, I know my departure is at hand. And he knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to be executed. He was going to be martyred for the cause of Christ. Folks, that's persecution. That's persecution. And all that Paul suffered, he said, you know what? Light affliction. And the reward I have coming to me makes it worthwhile. You know, there's a song we used to sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And that's true. If you really want to experience the kind of happiness that Jesus wants you to have. The kind of contentment that He desires for your life. The kind of joy that really lasts. He said, I want you to know, number one, this is my priority for you as my disciple. It's the first thing He addresses. I want you to be happy, and this is how you can be happy. So He wants that for you. He wants that for me. But we have to do it His way. He wants you to stand up. This world is dark. This world is filled with sin. And when you stand up, the light that is in you is going to shine, but it's also going to irritate others. And when you shine for Jesus Christ, when you take a stand for what is right, when you're a witness to others of the gospel of Christ, you're going to face some backlash. You're going to get mocked. You're going to get reviled at times. You might get persecuted at work, be passed over for promotion, whatever it may be. You'll face those kind of things. We may in this country never face prison. We never may face someone trying to come in and physically take our life as others are facing right now. Nevertheless, whatever form of persecution it may be, God says you can actually be happy with this. You can actually find blessedness in this. When you keep in mind what God has in store for you that stand up for His name. May God help your pastor never to shame the name of Jesus Christ. Never cower in the face of the enemy. Never shame His name. And I trust that'll be true of you. I close with this last verse this morning, Philippians 1:29. Listen to this. Here again, a man who knew persecution. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." He said, God's given you this. This is something that God wants you to have. The ability to suffer for His sake and be blessed even through persecution. Now, you may have to think about that a while, I don't know. Or maybe you need to do what all of us need to do, just accept by faith what Jesus Christ taught and say, God, I don't understand it. It really doesn't make sense to me, but I choose to accept it. And by your grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, live what you have directed me to do in order to find true happiness and contentment in you. Will that be true of you this morning? Will that be true of you tomorrow when you go back to the workplace? I know our students aren't in the school right now, but one of the places I faced persecution was in public school for trying to take a stand for Christ. Listen, will you take a stand for Christ wherever it is? God says if you really want to be blessed, you really want to be happy, this is to be part of your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. And right now, I just ask You would help us. Because quite bluntly, Lord, I do not have the personal courage. I do not have the strength to do this on my own. I cannot. But I plead with You for the power of the Holy Spirit to help me, just as Your child, to stand for You and to accept whatever may come as a result of it. Lord, I've never ever had to suffer like a lot of my brethren around the world have suffered. And whether we ever face those times or not, Lord, help us through the forms of persecution that we do here in this country suffer. Help us, Lord, to remain true to You. Lord, I ask that Your Holy Spirit would do that work that we in our flesh cannot do. That we would implement these teachings that You gave us on how we can know contentment and happiness. Father, I would ask again, if there's anyone who doesn't know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior, would repent of their sin and by faith trust what You did on Calvary and simply ask You to save them. Ask Your forgiveness. Believe You that they would do that even at this moment. God will thank You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad you're here this morning, and we'll see some of you back here at 6 tonight. Looking forward to preaching tonight and to being able to baptize. That's going to be really nice. And just be in prayer for one another. And for those who are going to be out of town, Lord bless you and give you just a tremendous Memorial Day weekend. And I will, through this week, begin to inform you in more detail of some of the changes that will continue to come over the next 2 weeks. Lord bless you. We'll see you later.